There were no windows on my train to Moscow. To be fair, it wasn't a passenger train. They booked my trip with zero planning and no budget, so I got what I paid for. A Cold War-era coal freighter, 8 huge blocky wagons behind the locomotive at the front, then the caboose where I slept in the back. Bound to be an adventure at any rate. When I met Sergei, the main driver, something went wrong. He smiled at me with almost no emotion. His eyes hardly moved and his posture stayed slumped. Just a flash of teeth before he resettled into his chair. He called out to me over his shoulder in a thick Russian accent as I leapt down into the snow.
Key to cabin on table. Trip is 5 days. Food in cupboard. Good night.
Spasiba? I stuttered back. He snorted at my bad Russian. Probably the first time he laughed in years, it seemed. I never got to meet the other drivers. The ice snapped under my feet. I waddled, clutching my bag to my chest towards the end of the train. I've never been this close to a freight train, but the wagons appeared oddly huge, like way too heavy and tall for what they were meant for. I chalked it up to being a typical product of Russian engineering, made to last for years in the harsh weather, to survive the extreme cold of the Russian tundra. The caboose was no different. It towered 10 feet in the air. Huge struts of steel beams supported walls of thick sheet metal, welded to the already heavy-duty frame of the car. Even the door was reinforced. It swung open on its broom-handle thick hinges like a bank vault's door. It closed behind me with a thunk, and the car felt silent. Just one light bulb hung lit in the center of the room. "Welcome to Russia," I whispered under my breath. I opened an almost equally thick door to my cabin, a cramped closet-like space with just enough room to stand, walk a step or two, and sleep. Tired, I threw my gear down, crawled into bed, and closed my eyes. Blip! Something beeped. I wiped the dream dust out of my eyes and looked around. It was hard to tell how long I had just slept. There were no windows at all to let natural light in. I noticed a dusty, rounded, and small glass screen embedded in the wall near my feet. Cool, I thought to myself. I love old tech, and this was straight out of the Cold War. It was a tiny terminal with hazy orange text scan lines. Most of the interface was in Russian, including the keyboard, but I could tell this was a messaging program from the train. "Hello. We talk using computer," the screen said. The typing language has already changed over to English, so I wrote my reply. "Hello," I typed. I switched through the screens to see what I could find. One said the date and time. January 8th, 1996. 9:03 p.m. Another seemed to be an admin login panel. The last screen featured an aged, pixelated diagram of the train, with words over each door and window. I recognized the two different words seen on the screen with my limited knowledge of Russian. Open and closed. Must be to make sure the cold stayed out, I wondered. They spent so much time welding everything closed. One open window would ruin the whole thing. I've heard of wires and electronics falling after being frozen. There wasn't a place to stop and repair if something broke. Blip. Another message came through. I switched back to the messaging screen.
"We start moving soon. Sorry for delay."
"No problem," I replied. Minutes later, the entire train lurched forward and shook, much less graceful than the passenger trains in Europe that I was used to riding. These wheels screeched against the tracks. The engine coughed up to full speed and we were off. Then the tree branches started to hit. They sounded wet and heavy, obviously coated in layers of ice and snow, and they bounced off the walls with a sloshy snapping sound. Some dragged across the outside walls with a piercing nail on the chalkboard pitch. I was shocked at how loud and frequent they were. Sometimes hours would pass without much noise, then a flurry of screeching and snapping would return. This must have been an unpopular route, otherwise these branches would have been knocked free by other trains, or cleared by railroad maintenance crews. I tried my best to sleep. I plugged my ears with loose lint, buried my head into my pillow, but nothing would work. I checked the time on the terminal, as if that would make any difference. 3 a.m. on the dot. I had that familiar and unwelcome debate with myself, deciding whether it was close enough to the morning to just give up and stay awake. Concluding that sleep was a lost cause, I opened the door and we were met with pitch blackness. The light bulb was off. Blip. I turned to the only source of light in the whole car. The terminal. I walked back inside and read the message. Stay inside. He must have had that screen open on his end. The one that watched the windows and doors. Blip. I forgot to say. Night, you stay inside. Blip. Yes? Yes. I started typing a response when another message came in. Blip. Important. The last message read. Okay. I typed. This felt wrong, even by Russian standards. Tired, hungry, and pissed off, I sat in my bed and stared at the ceiling, which was lit with that faint orange glow from the terminal. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I saw a wire leading from the wall, feeding into a small, magnetic security switch above my door. I had an idea. I dug around in my backpack and found my magnetic screwdriver for fixing my glasses. Using some tape, I secured the screwdriver head against the doorframe, almost touching the sensor. I slowly pushed the door open and waited. No message from Sergei. It worked. I felt my way around the car until I found a light switch. I flicked it up. Nothing happened. I tried a few more times waiting in between. No luck. Killed the power to my lights. I felt like I was about to be murdered. I had no phone, no weapons, and the drivers were making sure I stayed in my room until they said I could leave. Not wanting to be murdered on an empty stomach, I felt around the walls of the caboose to try to find the cupboard of food that I was promised. When I felt it. A circular section, the size of a dinner plate, drastically colder than the rest of the wall. A window? No way. This must be the only one on the train, other than the windshield. I felt around the surface of the glass. It was covered in a thick, lazy coating of black paint to match the rest of the walls. Curious, I scratched away a small chunk. It flaked easily onto the floor. I peeked through. Nothing. Just black. I could barely get close enough to see through it anyway. The hole I made was too small. I needed to scrape the rest of the paint off. I dug at the paint with my fingernails until my fingernails were filled with thick, oily paint flakes. Pressed my face against the glass again, now able to see through most of the window. Just my reflection looked back at me, softly lit by the moonlight. Until my reflection opened its mouth on its own. It wasn't my reflection. It was a man pressed against the window. The man started to scream. He beat violently at the wall and window, his primal and ape-like scream making it through the thick steel walls. I took a step back, terrified. Another man joined him, smashing at my window with his bare hands and screaming at me. Through their flailing arms, I could see the tracks, and I could see the dozens of others sprinting toward the train. Those probably weren't tree branches we were hitting. I don't know how long it took me, but I crawled back to my cab, and I shut the door and typed a message to the front of the train. There are people outside the train. Blip. The reply came back almost instantly. Why did you leave cabin? I stared. I regretted scratching the paint. I regretted leaving my cabin. I regretted not listening to Sergei, and I regretted stepping on this damn train. Blip. They can't get in. Blip. Stay inside cabin. Blip. Cover ears. Blip. No light. Blip. No sound. Blip. I'm very sorry. The thrashing and screaming and tree branch sounds continued. It could have been hours or days or minutes, but I stayed in the same position, hands pressed firmly against my ears, knees curled up, eyes fixed on the terminal. They were wailing on the door. They were smashing on the ceiling. They were still screaming. Blip. Still okay. I quickly typed back a response. Yes. Blip. We have trouble. Blip. They are near front of train. Blip. We detach your car. Blip. Wait for help. I wanted to scream, but I caught my mouth with my hand instead. I typed back, no! I didn't wait for a response. Please! Blip. We get help. He replied. I could hear his stupid thick accent through the screen, see his heartless smile, his cowardly posture. "I am sorry, friend. Blip, we get help. Blip. Goodbye." And with that last message, the terminal faded to black. I could hear the magnetic hook detach, the front locomotion speed away, and my caboose and 8 coal wagons slow to a stop. My scream joined the symphony. I hit back against the wall until my fist bled. I screamed until my vocal cords tore. I leapt around the cabin like an ape stuck in a cage. I cried myself to sleep, praying to God I never woke up. The endless stomping and pounding melded into gunfire. I had no idea how much time had passed. I was pulled out of my cabin by what I thought was the military. They spoke Russian, yes, but their uniforms had no insignia, no flags, no name tags. I was blindfolded and escorted to a helicopter. I could smell the rich metallic stench of spilled blood and fired weapons. In the hospital, I was isolated. Kept alone in a newly renovated wing. Every morning, I was visited by the same men, asking different questions. I told them everything I saw. They didn't react. Only scribbled down notes or typed furiously away at a keyboard. Then I was released. Sent home in a passenger plane alone. They didn't tell me to keep quiet about what happened, but they didn't need to. I tried to live the rest of my life as normal as possible, hiding the unhealing scars from what I heard and saw on that trip to Moscow. But as I lay dying from lung cancer, bedridden, I have nothing to lose. This isn't an invitation to try what I did, or to try and uncover your own government secrets. Just a warning. If you hear something tapping at your window at night, if you hear a sound in your kitchen, hear something walking around in your yard, they can't get in. Stay inside. Cover your ears. No light. No sound. You'll be safe.